As you walk the beach, it is hard to carry much. Maybe a pail, maybe the hand of another, but the beachcomber is most commonly seen up and down the shore with very little in their hands. Eyes are focused on the shoreline or the sand, seeking treasure. And often there's that look that's a little bit kind of out of focus, kind of contemplative or meditative in nature. Beachcombing kind of has that effect on people. This August, we've been looking at things we love and seeking, I know, I kind of feel that way too. Forgive me. Not about any of you. To know God's love in the ordinary. God's love as spoken through the quotidian. Spoken in the ordinary ways in which we love. Last week, Pastor Jim grounded us as we began with the reminder to love God and to love our neighbor, and where we've known God's love in books, in movies, in art, in culture, in the everyday. And we're using this month to develop that method, to explore where have we known God's love and then been urged on to do love. So Ann Morrow Lindbergh, known most popularly as being the wife of Charles for the Lindy Flyer, and then sadly as the mother of the kidnapped Lindbergh baby, was actually the author of 11 books, one of which, Gift from the Sea, began this as a set of reflections in 1955 as she approached her 50th birthday, a time of reflection, written as an entree to the environmental movement. I've been moved, I've read it a number of times, as a connection to the faith formation stages inherent in the meditative walk that happens as you wander at the sea line. So Lindbergh observes, as one does after you've tried to chase after that shell that the ocean is trying to take away from you, finds out, the sea does not reward those who are too anxious or too greedy or too impatient. To dig for treasures only shows impatience and greed, but a lack of faith. Patience, patience, patience is what it teaches us. One should lie empty, open, choiceless as a beach, waiting for the gift from the sea, hence the name. So beachcombing tends to make theologians of all of us, unencumbered. Vacations give us this freedom to explore ideas, philosophical and theological ponderings. Lindbergh began this book on Captivia Island in Florida as notes to herself around these different shells that she found, these life stages and growth potentials. So some of us who are more linear-minded would want to lay them out as you achieve this, check, and now I go on to the next stage, check. We'd be very tempted to do this, but like the tides, this is a little more cyclical than that. Our gospel lesson today is kind of an unusual way to begin speaking about gifts. I admit that, but let me start here. One bad decision invites a second. Herod Antipas gave governance to the area of Galilee here as the Jewish governor from the years approximately 6 to 29 after the birth of Christ. And while he was elsewise married, listen to that language for a moment, he met and fell in love with Herodias, the wife of his half-brother. Do you feel like you're in a soap opera yet? His divorce from the first wife caused a declaration of war from his father-in-law and criticism from the guy we know as John the Baptizer. John the Baptist accurately noted it's not lawful to marry your brother's wife. Think about that. The biblical scene then places us where we are at Herod's birthday. His daughter, Salome, just danced, and Herod extravagantly offers this gift, anything you want, up until half the kingdom. This is not the attitude of gift of the sea, when you're not too greedy or not too impatient. This is not the attitude we just heard from James, in which every good and perfect gift comes from above. This is not the same, one and the same. Salome goes to her mother for advice because it's immoderate and lavish. Boundaries have been crossed. For an adult to offer this kind of gift to a burgeoning teenager is inappropriate. She's being offered as a pawn between her parents. The head of a prophet on a platter is not a gift. Life is precious, a gift not to be wasted or taken away. Rather gently and contemplatively engaged. Now, let us hold that for a moment in juxtaposition with at the end of the scripture when the disciples bury John and think kindly, as they do for the rest of the gospel, about him. Peter, our son, makes friends very easily. So it's no surprise that we, Peter and I, spent an hour searching up snails in conchs on the beach. He made friends with a little guy and his dad, who were filling a whole ball cap full of these little snails. They splashed in tide pools and dug in the sand and watched the hermit crabs and snails of all sizes. How easily those little crustaceans left their shells and looked for a new home. To be so adaptable, Lindbergh writes, you and I need to be at peace with ourselves and with others. Where are we in our own lives shedding what we don't need in order to seek our own peace? There are seasons of our lives in which we are never alone. Now, there are seasons of our lives in which we miss those seasons, for sure. The moon shell, sometimes called the nodulus or the cat's eye, is a solitude reminder. The moon that hangs in the sky by itself, it's in coordination, some of you would tell me, with the solar system. That's true. But it's got the distinction of being alone. It reminds us there are times in our faith life that we need to draw away and be by ourselves. Where are we finding our own space to ground ourselves in faith? As we comb the beach, to find a single shell in perfect condition finds us with such excitement. But to find a double shell is almost over that same moon. The next one Lindbergh calls a double sunrise, a bivalve, a mussel shell. It's a valid image, she says, for the first two sages. It's two bound together with a single hinge, meeting at a single point, dawn of a new day spreading on each face with a little room. Inevitably, it's outgrown. Beautiful, fragile, fleeting, but not illusionary. When did you find yourself fresh in an exhilarating relationship? Finding joy. But a season that does not fleet follows that one. Oyster beds are not rare. If you've ever walked the beach, you know you can find a whole bunch of those, but each one is different. Each one shaped and formed to find and survive. Each one stretched out, and some are a bit tiny, uneven, with barnacles growing. They have grounding in one another. Many find grounding in each other, with space. Where do you and I, she would ask, and I would for our faith lives as well, find the gifts for one another in our lives right now? The Argrana highlights when we move from needing that permanent space to change. As sure as we need something that grounds us, we find that God has moved us into a space in which change is necessary. I don't know about you, but every time I think I know where my feet are planted, something changes around me. Once we've insisted we understand it all, faith, politics, life, we find there is movement and motion. Relationship and love, community is in ebb and flow. One cannot dance well unless one is completely in time with the music, not leaning back to the last step or pressing forward to the next, but poised directly on the present as it is coming. Where is the Holy Spirit breathing hope as you are present in each moment? And perhaps, regrettably, but certainly grounded, is the reality that you and I ultimately return home. As we come home from vacation, the sand still encrusted in all the places sand goes, the shells still in our pocket. Each season finds a different discovery of that rhythm of life. We need a different kind of faith that tethers us as we're heading out in life and taking care. Maria Shriver says it this way: I think there will always be the case that people struggle to provide, parent, partner, and caretake. I think life is complicated and life is difficult. Life is also great and life is sad. I think it's all of that and all in the same day. I think it can all happen in one day, and that's life, and not to be scared of that and know that's more normal than abnormal. This is the grace we offer each other in the seasons as the tide ebbs and flows. You and I are invited to consider how we receive this invitation to God's gifts. So do we, like Salome and Herodias, put each other's lives in danger to secure our places of power? Or do we receive these natural occurrences that are always around us as gifts, giving insight into human condition and theology? God's presence is inviting us into reflection and discernment, always near. Whether we're meeting God in the mountains or at the beach, at the office or at the kitchen table, may the God of us all be known as we pause to seek God's wisdom in the rhythms of our lives. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.